This week, we'll discuss the rights of furloughed federal employees with AFGE National President J. David Cox, Field Services and Education Director Dave Kahn, Assistant General Counsel Matt Millage, and Defense Conference Chair Don Hale. With me here in the studio to start, of course, President Cox and Dave Kahn. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jason. Glad to be back.
Furloughs have started in the federal government, and AFGE is fighting back. President Cox, talk to me about what the union is doing on behalf of its membership.
First off, Jason, we are actively beating down the doors of the members of Congress. AFG members are on the phone, calling them continuously, making personal visits in their districts, and wanting to know why the Congress of the United States has not dealt with the sequestration issue, adopted a budget, and moving forward. But second, AFG is certainly reacting that every furloughed employee has rights that's guaranteed them by law and by contract to respond in writing and to request to respond orally to a proposed notice of furlough. And AFG is encouraging every member to exercise that right and that privilege to respond as to why the United States government is furloughing them.
Why is it so important at a time like this that AFGE members essentially stand up and exercise the rights that they have?
Part of it, Jason, it is a right. It's a privilege. DOD, many components of DOD have said furloughs are not necessary. They have enough money to avoid furloughs. However, they continue to furlough every DOD employee. The only right by law that an agency can furlough someone is for the efficiency of the service. If the agency has the money to pay the salary, that's not an efficiency of the service. And it's important that AFGE members react to that.
Dave, it sounds like there might be a little bit of a conflict there if the agency doesn't necessarily have to furlough but is choosing to do so. Can you explain that to us a little bit?
Yes. Right now what's going on is there is a tension between the departments, for instance, in the DOD and the overall agency, which is instructing them to engage in furloughs they're fighting back on. Prior to the decision to furlough employees in the DOD, what is now 11 days, there were proposals that would be 22 and then 14. While this was going on, the Navy was saying, we don't need to furlough anyone. We don't want to furlough anyone. It affects readiness. We won't be able to achieve the mission. We won't be able to support the warfighter in the way that we need. The Marines made the same statement. And those protests were ignored by Hagel and the DOD. They're furloughing people that are necessary to protect the country and to, as J. David said, maintain the efficiency of the service. But it is at the cost of readiness.
So on the topic of readiness, how concerned are you as just an everyday American that the readiness factor for the United States military may take a slight hit here?
I'm troubled if for no other reason than the departments themselves are warning that there's a sacrifice and that we need to be concerned about it. So as an American who heeds the warnings of the chiefs of staff and the military departments upon which we depend, I think they're the threat.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the agencies that are already under furlough. As we understand, EPA has started furloughs, as has the Department of Housing and Urban Development. What's the latest there, President Cox?
EPA has been given notice of furloughs of 6 days, HUD, Housing Urban Development, of 7 days. Actually, last Friday, those two agencies served a furlough days, and they have served some others in EPA. We want these employees, while many of them are already past the response period of the furlough notice, they have the right to respond to the Merit System Protection Board, MSPB. We want those employees to fill out the paperwork to file their notice. Again, many of these agencies have funds. We believe if they would cut back on service contracts and other issues, that they would be able to fund the employees that they currently have. Agencies have continued to hire new employees. If you're furloughing the current employees, why would you be hiring more employees and giving them a furlough notice with the notice that they're being hired? Again, we're back to the efficiency of the service. All of these things look to us that they're violating the law, that it is not the efficiency of the service, and that's why we believe we need to get it to MSPB, a third party, to take a serious look. At times, there are mistakes made in the United States government. That's the reason employees have rights and appeal rights, and that's the checks and balances, and we want employees to exercise those rights.
AFGE has essentially created a toolkit for its members to be able to handle this situation effectively. Dave, can you talk to us a little bit about the toolkit and what's in it?
Yes, absolutely. The toolkit is available to all members on the membership section of the AFGE website and has been distributed to AFGE leadership. It contains a few things. First of all, it contains a conversational walkthrough in the steps to combating the furlough as a furloughed employee. It lets you know that, as we've discussed before, some background of the furlough, that the furloughs are unnecessary, explains the process of how we got here. It explains the reason that we need to act.
It gives the employees an opportunity to state their case, to move forward. Clearly, it may go all the way through the process and we may lose. Mm-hmm. But there's one thing about a labor union. We fight every battle. We fight every round. So if they're going to furlough our members nationwide, AFGE is going to fight. And every battle that we win is a win for AFGE and its members. I would certainly say management employees have the same rights as AFGE union members have in filing these appeals if they are being furloughed. It's their right as a government employee. I tell everyone to exercise their right, and that's very, very important. When air traffic controllers were furloughed a few weeks ago, we saw the American public scream out with a great deal of pain. Trust me, as we furlough all these DOD employees nationwide, there is going to be pain. The military is going to feel that pain. The United States is a safe country. We are a world power because we have military readiness. It is not because we don't have, the various things, a civilian workforce supporting the military. You need that civilian workforce supporting the military on the front lines. Somebody has to be repairing the aircraft. Somebody has to be repairing all the equipment. Someone has to be assembling the equipment, purchasing the equipment, doing those type things to have a safe and secure country. Somebody's got to be protecting the air. Somebody has to be worried about housing. And it's not just homeless people that HUD takes care of. Many, many folks. HUD is helping people to purchase homes. HUD is providing housing for people throughout the country. There is a whole lot of things that HUD does. It is not just worrying about one homeless person to a homeless shelter. It's a vast thing. We all have a lot of experience and benefits that we reap from the good that HUD does throughout this country.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, and we're speaking with AFGE National President J. David Cox and AFGE Field Services and Education Director David Kahn. President Cox, to follow up on your point about the impact of some of these furloughs, of course there's a public service impact and the military readiness and a lot of things that go into that, but there's also a more personal impact, and that has to do with the morale of the workers at the agency. Perhaps their personal family finances come into play. Can you talk about some of those things, too?
Certainly, Jason. I mean, this past weekend, HUD and EPA were shut down Friday, and then Monday was a holiday. There were folks saying, oh, that's great. Look at those employees. They've got a four-day weekend. Okay, that may have been a four-day weekend, but their next paycheck will be one day short of pay. That's an incredible amount of money right there up front. That's a 10% cut with just one payday. And I would remind folks, most federal employees' take-home pay averages around $500 a week. So you take out 10 to 20%, and with DOD, it's one day a week. That's a 20% cut. So they're now down to $400 a week to pay for mortgage or rent, pay the car, buy gas, and we all understand the expense of gas, to buy groceries, to provide lunch money for the children, to live. I mean, let's be real. That money doesn't go very far. And you keep compounding that over and over. You go through an 11-week cycle in DOD, a 7-pay period cycle in EPA or in HUD. Those things are very, very serious to people. They will have a serious impact. It will affect the local economy. It will start showing up. Does it show up immediately this morning? No. But over the process of the next 3 to 4 months, it will have an economic impact that can cost 1.5 million jobs throughout this country.
And that's an important point to note, because we even had Congressman John Sarbanes on from Maryland a couple of months ago talking about this. And one of his concerns was not just what's going to happen today or next week or the week after that, but there are long-term consequences that as Americans we need to be aware of.
There clearly is. Once someone gets behind on their mortgage, that starts hurting their credit. It dominoes. I mean, there's one thing about a mortgage. You can't just skip a payment. Sometimes with a credit card or an automobile, you can defer a payment. You can maybe get by a month. But a mortgage loan, those are for 15, 30 years. They continue on. You got to make that money up somewhere along life's way to avoid foreclosure. We've already seen what a housing crisis can have an effect upon the economy of this country. This can happen to many federal employees. And because those folks are no longer spending that money in the local economy, it will affect the businesses and the people in those local areas. You take many places, and I would use Warner Robins, Hill Air Force Base, and Tinker Air Force Base, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Utah. Those are the major employers. Tens of thousands of people work there. The entire economy of those cities are focused around those military bases. Everyone there, everyone, and I am talking about management employees also, taking a 20% pay cut will impact that community drastically.
Dave, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you touch on a really good point, and Jay David hints at this as well, when you start talking about the effect on people's credit, because many of the jobs of these federal employees are of a sensitive nature, and the government requires that they maintain credit scores of a certain level in order to maintain their employment. Otherwise, the idea is their ability to maintain secrecy and discretion is compromised. What's happening now is the government is putting these employees in a position where they have no choice but to compromise their credit, where their credit scores are endangered, and then their livelihood is endangered. So what we're talking about isn't just a four-day weekend or even a 20% pay cut for people over a certain period of time. What we're talking about, in fact, is people put in a position where they are in danger of losing their jobs. And again, many of the communities that our employees work in and in which these bases and installations are in are wholly dependent upon the defense jobs that we're talking about. And so when people's jobs are threatened, it's not just for a short term. It's not just for the year. It's not just the individual. It's entire American communities that are imperiled by what is, at the end of the day, a thoughtless, careless, heedless, and politicized attack on workers that is wholly unnecessary. You also talk about scope a little bit. One of the things that's worth considering is this is just the first attack of what may be many. The sequestration can go on for another 9 years. And it is a part of a real consideration of the question by those that want to attack federal employees and their mandate of determining what work should be done by the government and what work should not. And that full context is necessary to consider, because a part of the question that's being asked is the role federal employees will play in the future in providing necessary services to Americans, whether or not privatization and outsourcing is something that should occur. And because AFGE is of the belief that there are professionals that are performing necessary services for Americans, and that is something that should not be in question, making sure that we act rapidly, decisively, and with great clarity at this point is necessary, not just for the members that we have now, but for the missions of every agency that they work at and for the future of Americans that depend on the services provided by the federal government.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. I'm your host, Jason Fornicola, and up next, we'll continue our furlough discussion with AFGE's J. David Cox and David Kahn.